Okay.
All right, praise the Lord. On this pre-4th of July, Wednesday night service here at Landmark Baptist Church. I'm a little hoarse. Been at wedding, and I think I may have went a little too hard. I'm trying to reach about 30 people here. And, I never seen some of them before, and they had never seen me before. Trying to cast some seed, trying to plant some. But we got Independence Day tomorrow. And what Independence Day, 1776, what we're actually celebrating is our independence in America, that we're free. We're not under no tyrant rule, and they're trying to put us under a tyrant rule, but that's what we'll be celebrating tomorrow, the Independence Day. And, God give us America any way you want to look at it. He caused America to be. Let me put it like that. America wouldn't be here if God didn't want it to be here. But He gave me the privilege to be born in America and the blessing to live in America. And if you're an American, no matter what country you came from, you can be American in America. I can't go to China and become a Chinese. I can't go to Russia, become a Russian. I can't go to, Korea, become a Korean. But anybody can come to America and become an American. And that's one of the blessings of this blessed country. It stands for freedom. We're celebrating the birthday of America. In God we trust. God was reverenced when America had its beginning. We've kind of lost sight of God. But God was esteemed, and His Word was esteemed when America had its beginning. Would to God we could get back to that. I'm going to have a quick word of prayer. Sister Rita's fixing to sing us a song, and we'll get with our service tonight. I was looking on her website, and something like 52,000 messages have been downloaded in over 8 different countries from this little old bitty church. I praise God for that. Amen. Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, just to have a small part in the big work of God. Now I pray You bless Your name here always. Bless Your people, Father. Lord, we've got a lot of people that are struggling with their health. Lord, I visited Sister Phyllis last Sunday after church, and she was so wanting to go home. And I pray for her, Lord, that You grant that, Father, that she'd be able to go home and be in her own home. We pray her son, Mike, was there. We pray for him. We pray for her daughter, Connie. Lord, bless Phyllis, her family. Her sister got stage 4 cancer. We pray for her. Pray for her sister's daughter. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Lord Mark and Kay Hurt. Lord, their health in terrible decline. Help Brother Mark with his back. Help Sister Kay with her health. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Sister Joanne, probably watching right now. We love Sister Joanne. Lord, we know that she'd be here if she could. And Lord, she's able, Lord, to be here by way of the live stream. And we praise God for that. And I pray You bless Sister Joanne. We pray for Sister Judy, Sister Geraldine. Lord, they might be watching right now. I know they like to watch. They're having trouble with their phone. I pray for Bruce. Got cancer. Sarah's dad. We pray for him. I pray, Lord Father, for James and Patty Madison. Pray for their daughter, Marilyn. Pray for Jarvis. Pray, Lord Father, for their son, Rick. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Tammy Tibbs. Lord, struggling with her health. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Sister Sharon Wheeler, our piano player. Pray for Sister Sybil. Lord, we got a lot of people in a church that, Lord, struggle with their health. And we put them in Your tender care. Ask You, Lord, to visit them with healing Your wings. Ask You, Lord, to bless them. Help them recover from their circumstances. Lord, may they shout all day long for your goodness and your grace. Lord, bless this service tonight. Bless Sister Rita as she gets ready to sing. Bless your churches, Lord. Oh, Lord, may your songs resonate tonight with praise and glory. Bless this country, Lord. Help it to get its eyes open. Help it to get on its knees, that it might be able to get back on its feet. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Come on, Sister Rita. Vacation Bible School, Sister Rita, I forgot.
Yeah, we want to remember our Vacation Bible School. It'll be starting here in about a couple of weeks, starting on the 16th of July. We'll have it the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. On the 20th, we have a fun night. And then on that Sunday, on the 21st, we'll have a little ceremony, present the kids with their certificate. They'll do a little songs that we'll learn during the Vacation Bible School. We'll do a little program there to show some of the things that we learn. We got some projects for them to do, and we hope that at least one child will come out learning something from this Vacation Bible School. I always did when I was growing up. Didn't think about it then, but I sure think about it now. It's just the little things that we try to just install something on them that they'll take with them for the remainder in their life. Also, I wanted to add a person to the prayer list. My aunt Brenda Johnson, that's Carolyn and Sharon's sister, my mom's sister. Carolyn was with her at the emergency room on Sunday. She did get to come home with medication, so we want to continue to keep her in her prayers. We know that she's going to have some surgery done, so we want to remember her in our prayers also.
Amen.
Consider all the world.
Sister Rita. I'm like her. His allergies beat me like a drum. I about lost my voice. We'll take our text tonight out of Hebrews. And I was thinking about, while she was singing, about how great God is. And Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 17, this is not our text. I was just thinking about this while she was singing. It says, verse 16, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing to show, or God willing more abundantly to show the immutability." Now that word's real important. That means this cannot be reversed. "The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things," that immutability hinges on these two things, "which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope which is upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil." Now, when God made this covenant with Abraham, he caused a deep sleep to come upon Abraham because he wanted to be immutable. If Abraham had been involved in it, it would have had, like Adam, vulnerability. There's no vulnerability because God couldn't swear by no greater. He swore by himself with an immutable, I can't even say the word now, with an immutable counsel, an immutable oath, and the oath, God done it this way so it couldn't be undone. So that's how come you can have hope as an anchor to your soul. You put hope in your money and somebody might steal it. You put hope in your health, it might fly away. You put hope in your home, it might be on fire right now. But you can put hope in God. And He wants it to be immutable hope. That you don't have to second guess. You don't have to question. You can take Him at His word. He fixed this thing so perfect. And I want to go ahead and read the last verse there. "Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." I just wanted to read that with what We had just sung right there about how great thou art. He's great. He's so great, he set everything in order. The only problem he's ever had with man, and even with the problem he's had with man, he fixed that problem right here in verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs a promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He swore by himself. He couldn't swear by no greater. Look up there in verse 13. But when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. I just want you to know, God made this thing where it's an anchor to the soul. We got something to hold on to. Okay, this will be our 20th message in the series that I can help you. And one reason I can help you, I'm 100% saved. Not hope I am, not trying to endure to the end. I'm 100% saved. I talk about salvation all day long, never get lost in the subject matter. I'm 100% called of God to preach. Matter of fact, God changed the message today that I was intending to deliver tonight and the one I was going to deliver this Sunday. And I want God to have the preeminence in everything. I'm just the messenger boy. This church knows that I let the Lord have the preeminence in everything. But I had mentioned last Sunday that I was going to preach this Sunday on the power, if it's the power or the if something along the power, I can't remember exactly what I was talking about underestimating God, yeah. Underestimating God. And we will probably get there, but the Lord kind of interrupted that, and we got to deliver the message God tells us to deliver. Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, he said, I'll receive a reward, but woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I want the reward. Whatever he says, that's what I want to be found doing. But we will be preaching a series on underestimating God. One example, when the disciples out on the sea and the storm came, and they thought they was dying, Master, wake up, we perish. He jumped up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and they said, what manner of man is this? That's one example of misunderstanding or underestimating God. They had no idea that what they had on the boat was all they needed, no matter what came. I mean, if the whale of Jonah showed up, he could have rebuked it. Amen. All right. Tonight, we'll take our text tonight out of Hebrews chapter 11. This is the I Can Help You series. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me get my notes here, because everything's changed since this morning. And we just try to be obedient. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. Says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months from his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and it's important. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That verse says a lot. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We'll get on that here in a second. Choosing rather, and notice he made a choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. We'll stop our reading right there. And we were kind of talking last Wednesday night about how you can shorten the days of your life, saved and unsaved both, and that is true. God wants to give you a long, blessed life. I'll tell you right now, in His hands is your next breath. Your next heartbeat is up to Him. I've heard all kind of preachers standing behind the pulpit just like I am, fell dead right there. I mentioned last Wednesday about Ananias and Sapphira come in church pretending to be something they wasn't. For the praise of men, they did what they did, and God didn't like it. They buried both of them. Just telling you, a guy's not bought. We'll have a quick word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank You. Lord, again, we ask You to bless, Lord, this Vacation Bible School. Lord, we're so excited about reaching out to our little ones, Lord. Lord, trying to convey to them, Lord, the great truths have been taught to us. Rita said she remembered when she was little being in Vacation Bible School, and I can too, Lord. And well, Lord, we pray that we'll not fail, Lord, to reach these little ones, Lord, in any capacity we can reach them, any way, Lord, that we can help them. We want to do that. And I pray You bless the efforts of this Vacation Bible School. May it be joyful, may it be beneficial. And Lord, we pray again for Brenda. We pray for her this morning. We'll pray again for her tonight. Be with her, Lord. Help her with her, Lord, her health. I know her, I think she's got to have some surgery. We pray about that, Father, that, Lord, the great physician and visitor. We pray for that. And all these things, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the reason I read all these verses was because here, verse 25, Moses made a choice, and the choice was that he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin or season. Now, sometimes that season of sin is real short. I mean, it's real short. I don't know how many young people that by a dare or by peer pressure, you know, died, overdosed, first time. How many drove too fast? Shouldn't have done it. Out of here. I'm just telling you. You need to make good choices. Sin is something that we don't need to indulge in. It's something we need to abstain from. And we're kind of talking along those lines tonight. That sin season, it's a short season. James chapter 1 verse 15 says, "And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death." And listen, there is pleasure in sin. I know I lived about 34 years doing what I wanted, where I wanted, when I wanted, as much as I wanted. And, you know, I pray now, Lord, help this world to get, you know, sick of sin. Help them, Lord, to repent and get right with God. I pray for a Nineveh-type repentance in this world, from the greatest to the least, that people would turn away from sin. Moses made a choice here. It was a good choice. But I'm going to leave aside some of this stuff I've got wrote here. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. I wasn't going to do this. This just came just really right before I come to church here. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Says, "And Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, every son that's born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Now, Pharaoh had noticed that the children of Israel were outgrowing the children of Egypt. And it's a new Pharaoh, And he mentioned in verse 9, he said unto these people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. He said, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. They had these people in bondage. They were working for Pharaoh. Verse 11 talks about they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Pithom and Ramses, or got the pyramids down there. Ramses, I don't know that, I'd say Israel probably had a hand in it. But anyways, says verse 12, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They were grieved because of the children of Israel. I'm going somewhere with this. This will be worth listening to. If you'll take the time to listen to me tonight, you'll have a chance to learn something. And the children of Israel, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. That means they worked them like sled dogs. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Serapath and the name of the other was Kirah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. Hallelujah! And did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. They kind of told the high truth right there. But look at verse 20. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. You see, Moses made a choice. These midwives made a choice. Now we're going to talk about Moses here real quick. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that it was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with lime and with pitch, and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister, which would be Marian, stood far off to wit what would be done to him. Now I want to leave right there and go to chapter 6, verse 20. Says, and Aram took him Jochebed, his father's, I hope I'm saying it right, Amram took to him Jochebed, his father's sister, the wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Aram were 137 years. Now I mentioned about they wasn't afraid of the king's commandment in Hebrews 11, verse 23. His parents, they hid him 3 months. They hid this child because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. The midwives were not afraid of the king's commandment. But the command was to kill all of the male children of the Hebrews. Today, we've got the same scenario. We've got an Egypt today different than the Egypt in Moses' day. This Egypt is bigger, mightier, more powerful, more wealthy, than Pharaoh in Egypt in Moses' day. They also want your children dead. They want your sons to think that they're women trying to do away with male gender. All points are being made to indoctrinate the minds of the children of America into confusion. You see, the parents of Moses took the initiative to hide him. They hid him for 3 months. When they could no longer hide him, they took action to keep him from Egypt. Today, I think we're like the Hebrew children. I think we're in hard bondage. I think we're under the power of the Pharaoh of our day. I mentioned this to Rita just a few minutes ago. I want you to really listen, Brother Eddie, right here. I heard this on the radio today. It's fact. But in America, in California, they passed a law called the kidnap law. And what the kidnap law means should be called the pedophile law. But what the kidnap law means, if a pedophile that needs a victim, your children, that they can come to Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, Florida, anywhere they want to go. If they can kidnap your children, just take for instance little Lucy, little Chase, little Toby, little Carter, little Keaton, little Allie, little Serenity, little Leroy, little Thomas, little Landon, little Abby. They can get those children. If they can make it back to California with those children, here's what that kidnap law does. You can't prosecute them. I thought kidnapping was against the law. I thought we had laws against kidnapping. But the law of California, you can't prosecute them. You can't pursue your children. You can never get them back. Now, we cry about slavery. We cry, you know, black people talk about, you know, how they suffered during slavery. We've got worse than that today. We got little children being kidnapped, taken to California, given into the hands of pedophiles to abuse them and satisfy their lust with them. We got so many devils in America right now. The main reason our borders open right now, of course, we know the fentanyl's coming across. We know the terrorists are coming across. That's not the main reason the borders open. The borders open so that little children can be brought to America to satisfy the lust of these demonic pedophiles. They can't get enough. That's why your schools are impregnated. Your children are indoctrinated with these lies straight from hell that tells them they're not what they're born. They're not a girl. They're not a boy. There's something else. Oh, by the way, also heard today that as a parent, if you go to a board meeting at the school and you contest what's being taught your children, now it's going to be criminal. You're going to be prosecuted. Yeah, we're talking about America here. It's not legal for you to even speak up for your children. If you try to convince your children that what they've been told in the public schools is not true, I hope you're listening to me. because I want you to hear real good. Where did I write that down? I mean, I know what I'm going to say, but I'm trying to find out the name of it. Child Protection Services can come to your house with a warrant. They can take your children away from you with them crying and screaming, saying, Mama, help me. Daddy, help me. You cannot stop them. Why are they doing it, Brother Eddie? Well, for one thing, they get paid $8,000 a year for every child that they obtain. That's one reason they're doing it. What's the other reason, Brother Eddie? They're taking them to California. We got something wrong in America. Now, Moses' mother, Jochebed, I believe that's trying to say her name right. Moses' father, Amram, Jochebed, they took it upon themselves to protect this boy, Moses. Would to God we had some parents like that today. They took every measure, every action, every precaution they could. They hid him for 3 months. And then when he got where they couldn't hide him, she made provision for him with a little ark. And she put Moses in that little ark. She done all she could. She's up against the Pharaoh of Egypt. We got Pharaohs today. Oh, for what it's worth, I don't mean to get political here, but if this leaves a bad taste in your mouth, just get over it. I come tonight, I've got a bad taste in my mouth. Gavin Newsom, that's the governor of California, that passed the kidnap law. Oh, by the way, he also passed the law that if a mother had a child 28 days after she gave birth to the child, if she wanted to kill it, she could. Yeah, that's California. That governor, Gavin Newsom, they're talking about putting him in the place of the president right now. Now you need to listen to me. We've done nothing so long. It's going to get where we can't do nothing about what's going on in America. I can't believe they passed a kidnapping bill so that pedophiles could abduct little children. That's what's going on in your country. You see little children kicking and screaming, thrown in a car, and they're gone. Nobody ever sees them again. Sister Sybil, bless her heart, she told me to watch a movie called The Sound of Freedom. You watch it too. You'll get an idea of what's really going on in our country. Now here's why I'm talking about all this tonight. Jochebed, Moses' mother, she only had a little time. She hid him. She put him in that ark and the bulrushes. And then here comes Pharaoh's daughter. Look here. The daughter of Pharaoh, verse 5, came down to wash herself at the river. That's the providence of God. Moses' mother, Jochebed, has done everything she can. Now God's going to do something for her. The daughter of Pharaoh come down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now this is Pharaoh's daughter. She's got power. If she says go get that ark, they got to go get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. The providence of God's in this. That's why the baby wept. That's why she had compassion on him. Then said his sister unto Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother, Jochebed. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. I will give thee thy wages. And the woman, Jochebed, her name's tough for me, Jochebed. Oh, the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. I read all this for this reason. Jochebed, Moses' mother, she had so much time. Rita mentioned about how Vacation Bible School had helped her, kind of give her a jump start, give her a chance of running the gauntlet that's down here. Jochebed, Moses' mother, as she nursed this little boy, she told him about God. She told him about the Word of God. That's why when he became of age, he refused to be called Pharaoh's son. Chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You just got a little time to work with your children. I'll tell you one thing. A brother Andy, a sister Shelly Watson, they come here, they got like 9 children, and I salute them. I can't believe they're able to do what they do. But they homeschool their children. She, like Jochebed, trying to instill in the hearts of their children, trying to prepare them for the Pharaohs down here, for the pedophiles down here, for the things that should not be in America that are growing more and more because we're letting our children fall through the cracks. I want today, get me a sandwich. The guy that waited on me, I ain't got nothing against him. But I looked at him, I thought, boy, he needed a Jochebed. The world had his way on him. Our children need the Lord. They need prayer. They need guidance. They need to be nurtured. They need to be taught. Paul said, in the last days, there'll be perilous times. We're in them. I'm telling you, in America, right now, we've got fresh graves dug because of little girls that wasn't doing nothing but just out for a walk, jogging, exercising. They were abducted. They were left in a river, dead, naked, half naked. One of them had busted her face in with a rock, unrecognizable, in America. How's that going on, Brother Eddie? We need more Jochebed. I'll tell you, I'm going to try again to say her name right. But she done best she could. Jochebed, Moses' mother, she bare Moses, and she done her best with him. She healed him at 3 months, and when she could no longer hide, she wasn't afraid of the king's commandment. You know, they're telling parents, you can't come to the school meetings, you know, to the where they talk about the literature being taught in the schools. Oh, they're modern day terrorists now. You're not allowed to contest what's being taught your children. We need some Jochebed. I may not say her name right, but boy, she done right. She invested in that little boy all she could. In what short time she had, and when he was of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Now he couldn't help the fact that he grew up in Egypt. But when he got of age, he realized he needed to make a choice. He made the right choice. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen to this right here. They're shutting down Bible counselors. They're criminalizing parents that disagree with their children's choices because they've been indoctrinated in our public schools. I wrote this down while I was driving. Schools are required to hide the gay agenda and lie to parents about it being taught in the public schools. Is that okay with you? Not with me, it's not. It's my schools. My tax dollars built those schools. Oh, by the way, you can't encourage a child to come out of being gay. Because if you do, you'll be prosecuted. It says you can't encourage a child concerning their gender ID. They're doing it in a school. They're telling them, why don't you be a boy? Why don't you be a girl? These are children. We're talking kindergartens. Yeah. There's a reason you've got to be 18 to drink. There's a reason you've got to be 21, you know, to smoke and all that. 16 or 17 to drive. I don't know, they changed a lot of stuff when I grew up. There's a reason for that. You're not ready to drive when you're 6 years old. You're not ready to drink when you're 6 years old. You're not ready to buy a pack of cigarettes when you're 6 years old, but you can be taught the gay agenda when you're 6 years old. In the public schools of America, Egypt wanted these boys dead. They want your sons dead. They want your sons. You know, God's not the author of confusion. They want them confused. Now, if you're really interested, there's a place called PJI. P like in parents. J like in Jesus. I like in information. PJI.org. You can go on there and they'll tell you how to get around all this stuff being taught your children. They'll tell you about the 12-step program. They'll tell you how to be protected in what action you want to take to help your children. His name was Brad. I heard him today. And I was driving. If I'd been driving, I'd recorded it. And I'd put it on the internet for everybody. Like I said, I can't help you if you listen. I don't like the sound of what's going on in America. $8,000 a year for every child they can, with a warrant, come and take away from loving parents and take them to California. They get paid $8,000 a child. That's your money paying for that too, by the way. Your tax dollars paying for that. Some child never see their parents again. Parents can't even stop it. Moses' mother, she done everything she could for her son. And then when she got, she couldn't do no more. God done something for her. He calls the daughter of Pharaoh to come down and find this little baby. And he also not only calls the daughter of Pharaoh to come down and find this little baby, but he calls the daughter of Pharaoh to have compassion on this child. And he also called the daughter of Pharaoh to pay Moses' mother, Jochebed, while she's nursing this little boy. God can help too. You can do your part, and God will do what you can't do. Now, I mentioned about days being shortened. Let me touch a little bit of what I was going to teach on tonight. That other just got the best of me. But in Psalms chapter number 40, read this morning in my devotion. Psalms chapter 40. Look at verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Look at verse 12. Now we're talking about, you know, the pleasure of sin for a season. Listen to this. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. Sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Sin wants to be paid. It costs you something. You don't get away with sin not having to pay the price for it. Bible says, can a man take a fire in his bosom, his clothes not be burned? Sin will leave a mark on him. He says, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. Listen to this. So that I am not able to look up. That's bad. That's a product of sin. Pride. He says, I can't even look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. That wouldn't be a problem with me. I ain't got 25, I guess. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. We're talking about sin here. Look in next chapter, Psalms 41, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. There's also a price for doing right. God's going to preserve you. God's going to keep you alive. In him you live, move, and have your being. Acts chapter 17 says, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou shalt not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Thou wilt help you if you try to be right. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. You know, we all belong to God. And you know, God puts you on your heart. I was praying this morning, a long time. And I was a praying for this man. God informed me that this man's heart had got hard. God wants me to go tell this man that his heart's got hard. He lives in Scottsville, Kentucky, and he's a multi-millionaire. And he's been a blessing to me, but as I was praying for him this morning, God conveyed to me that this man's heart is getting hard. God wants me to drive up there and tell him, your heart's getting hard, you need to do something about it. I'm going to tell you, the Lord here, he says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. This man used to clothe the poor. He did. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him, keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon earth, and thou will not deliver him until the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. Look at verse number 4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against thee. So he took some action about what's mentioned there, verse number 3. I mean, verses 1 through 3. He wants some help. So verse 4, he said, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. That's really about all needs to be said. You remember the two men went in that temple? One of them, big old Pharisee, boy, I'm glad I'm not like other men. I pray, I fast, I give tithes, I give alms. The other one over just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. One went out of that temple justified, and the other one went out condemned. He said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against thee. Look at verse 5 through 9. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? You know, people say they like him behind your back. They say things like this right here. I hope he, you know, I've heard people say, I hope you die. I hope he don't, you know. It says here, my enemies speak evil of me. You know, now they've got where you go online, you know, and you what do you call that, belittle or run people down, try to send out hateful messages about them. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speak of vanity. That's talking about your enemy comes and he says, praise the Lord. And really, he don't mean nothing good about you at all. Mine enemies speak evil of me. They say, when he come to see me, speak of vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. You know, talebearer brings wounds, I think. Talebearer brings wounds. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me to do, against me do they devise my hurt. It says, an evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. And, you know, in this context right here, you can tell that this man has got enemies, and the biggest enemy he's got is himself. But here in those verses right there, look at his pleading there in verse 10. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Raise me up that I may requite them. That means just say, you know, correct them that they were wrong. You know, Job kind of done that with his friends. He prayed for them and God recovered them. By this, verse 11 through 13, by this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. See, he's praising God there. Psalms 43. I read these this morning. Look at 1 through 5. Judge me, O Lord, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why doest thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill, and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Don't give up. No matter where you're at, don't give up. Don't quit praying. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit coming to church. I'm telling you, there's a real devil down here. He wants nothing more than to see your faith shipwrecked. He wants nothing more than to leave you like the man that journeyed and fell among thieves. They left him half dead, wounded. The Lord is pitching in that the good Samaritan to come, had compassion on him, poured in oil and wine. The devil wants to leave you like that. Leave you half dead. Leave you robbed of all that you worked for. Don't give up. Hang in there. God's will towards you is good. He loves you with an everlasting love. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't be here. That's amazing, the love of God. He even gave Jezebel, as weak as she was, he said, I gave her space to repent. Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. That left a bad taste in my mouth about the kidnapping law. That left a bad taste in my mouth about $8,000 per child that's been abducted from good parents and taken to a place they'll never see their parents again. And their parents will never see them again. I left a bad taste in my mouth. It left a bad taste in my mouth when they're prosecuting parents for speaking out against what their children are being taught in the public schools. They're calling it criminal. domestic terrorists. We better wake up here in America. We got a lot of good things in America. We got a lot of evil in America. If you listen to Brother Eddie tonight with any degree at all, a reason, you can realize we need to blow the trumpet. We need to build up the bulwarks. We need to put everything back where it needs to be. It's all out of kilter. And thank you for listening tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those that were listening tonight. And I pray, Lord, somehow woke somebody up to the reality of the problems in our country. Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, overthrow this wickedness. Lord, expose it. Lord, to make it known. Help us not to stick our head in the sand. Help us not to be silent. Help us to preach against it. Help us to stand against it. Help us, Lord, to prevail against all the devices of the enemy. We give you praise and glory tonight. Lord, it's in you we put all of our trust. And in Jesus' name we ask you, Father. Amen.